Good evening. Thank you for joining our shiur tonight. Be'ezus Hashem, tonight we're going to talk about a further application of the ideas of Hashma'as Kol B'Shabbos. That's making noise or making sounds or making music on Shabbos. But we're going to talk about two very specific applications. Number one, whistling on Shabbos. And number two, we're going to discuss the bells that many parochuses or ataros for Sefer, that crown Sefer Torahs, or breastplates that are on Sifrei Torah that with bells, are those bells permitted to be used on Shabbos? Are you permitted to take out a Sefer Torah that has those bells that ring and ding as you walk from the Aron Kodesh to the Bima? Is that sound-making bell permitted on Shabbos or not permitted on Shabbos? So allow me to share my screen with you. There we go. Okay, so just going to adjust the screen. So the first discussion I'd like to have is a discussion of whistling. Now, the whistling source, the primary source for whistling, is really a Shilta Giborim on the very last daf in Meseches Erevin. And I cut it out for you. It's a little bit harder to see because it's I wasn't able to get it on the bright line, so I have it here cut and pasted. Let's see the Riyaz, and he talks very specifically about whistling and whistling alone. The only thing we're going to talk about right now is whistling. Says the Riyaz, which is the Shilta Giborim, Asur lahashmia kol b'Shabbos. You're not allowed to make noise on Shabbos. But he says, he's going to get to whistling in a moment, at the end, V'lo asur ela kol shel shir. But when it's asur to make noise, it's only asur to make noise if it's musical. Kagon shehu mashmia kol ne'ima biyado. It's like you're tapping to a beat, a pleasant tune to your with your fingers. O bekli, ke'en kli zemer. So if you tap to a beat, you tap to a rhythm, that's problematic. If you just bang on the door, that's okay, without a rhythm. Umuchach mikan, and he says, we see from here, de'en asur ela bezemer shal yedei maisa. For the fact that the Gemara only talked about things that are asur when you're tapping or banging, it sounds like there has to be some maisa involved. It's not just making sound. It's making sound with a maisa, like back, banging, tapping, hitting, clapping, all those things. There's some maisa involved. If that's the case, that all the yisurim d'rabbanan of music on Shabbos are all involving a maisa, like an instrument or a tap or a bang or a clap. If that's the case, osam kisherotzim likros chavere chavero. Those people who want to call their friend mitzaftzefim b'piem, they whistle with their mouths kitzi porim, like birds. Shekorin tzufil blaz. I'm assuming tzufil is not a translation for birds. I'm assuming that's the whatever language, I don't know, some German or Austrian language or something like that. That means whistling. Even though sometimes when you whistle, you could whistle a happy tune, you could whistle a melody. Here, I told you before that it's also to make a tune, right? So it concludes the Shilta Giborim, Hacha, fourth to last line. Kevin Shemachave Likros Chaveiro, since here your intent is not to whistle a tune, a melody, only to call your friend, something like that. Lo Yan Imbikriya, V'lo Ya Kol Shir, V'Shapri Dami. Since when you whistle, you're not doing it to a tune or to a melody, you're just trying to get somebody's attention, something like that. That is going to be mutter, because the only prohibition of making noise or sounds on Shabbos is if they are noises and sounds of a tune or a melody. And therefore, we have a kula from the Shilta Giborim that if you're whistling just to get somebody's attention without any melody, without any tune, that will be permitted. You see clearly that according to this line that we just said, if you whistle a tune, it would be prohibited. So when you have a Shlomo Carlbach melody and a whistling of a Shlomo Carlbach niggun, that would be usher because that's to a tune. That's the first part of the Shilta Giborim. The second part is the last four words. The last four words say something totally different. The problem with whistling, or the potential problem or that whistling may or may not face, is not because it's a problem only if it's a tune. Nothing to do with a tune. Fourth to last word, Vigam lo avid ma'aseh. You're not doing anything. When you're whistling, you're not doing, you're not clapping, you're not banging, you're not tapping, you're not hitting. You're just singing with a certain formation of your lips. And therefore, when you sing, you're allowed to talk on Shabbos. Of course, you're allowed to sing on Shabbos. So why can't you sing forming your,
excuse me,
just forming your lips with a different formation that causes a whistle instead of a voice to come out? So these are the two different reasons that the Shilti Giborim offers to permit singing. And I wrote it out for you over here. He permits whistling to call a friend for one of two reasons, either because it's not their shir, or it's not a maisa. Now, there are gigantic nafkaminas between these two possible reasons that the Shilti Giborim puts forth. If the isser is that the reason why you're allowed to call your friend, the reason why it's mutter to whistle your friend to come here or to get your friend's attention is because it's not a tune, well, if that's the reason, then it sounds like a tune would be usser. Whistling a tune would be usser. On the other hand, if you say that the prohibition, the reason why there's nothing wrong with whistling, calling a friend is because there's no maisa, there's no hands or doing activity involved, it's just coming from your throat, well, then you can sing a tune because there's no maisa. That's one nafkamina. Another nafkamina. Do you remember, if you have a bottle, where do I have a bottle? Here's a bottle. Let me stand up for a second. If you take a bottle and you take off the cap and you whisk and you blow over the cap. It's not really working too well. I guess I have a defective bottle. Sometimes when you blow over the cap of blow over the top of a bottle, right where the cap usually goes, that causes a whistle. So, is that derech shir? Nah, you can't really do it derech shir, so it's not going to be a problem if you assume that the issue is making us music. On the other hand, if you call it a maisa, well, here, since you're using a tool, it's not a wind instrument, it's not a clarinet, it's not a trombone, it's not even a reed instrument, it's just a bottle, but the fact that you're using it with a bottle, I would consider that to be a maisa. And maybe that would be aser. And a third nafkamina, and this is what we'll talk about a little bit more by Richas, a little bit more at length, is the following. You know that there's some people who, I don't know how to do it, but maybe I think my father might know how to do it. If you put your fingers in your mouth like this, and you, Daddy, do you know how to do that? I think I remember used to do that when I was younger. To call people to the 10 o'clock Myriv. And you'd whistle a shrieky whistle with your fingers in your mouth, or some people do it like this in their mouth. And let's think for a second. That's more of a shriek. It's not a tune. It's a shriek to call somebody attention from afar. Well, if the isser is that it's making music, well, you're not making music. It should be permitted. If, however, the issue is that it's a if the reason why whistling is permitted because there's no maisa, well, wait a second. If you put your hands in your mouth and you're whistling with your two fingers, maybe that's already considered a maisa. In the same way, tapping, clapping, banging is a maisa, maybe putting your fingers in your mouth is also a maisa. It's more than just a whistle with a formation of a lip, like a regular song. There's a maisa. The maisa is the fact that you're using your fingers. So there is a very significant difference between these two possible reasons that the Shilti Giborim sets forth. And we have to figure out what's the real answer. What's the real reason? How do we paskin? Which one of these two reasons is the reason why it's mutter to whistle on Shabbos? Is because it's not to a tune, but if it's to a tune, it would be aser? Or because whistling is not considered a maisa, but if you use your fingers, it is a maisa. So if you open up a Shulchan Aruch, you'll see the Shulchan Aruch in Shin Lamed Ches, the Rama says the following. The Rama says that very clearly, if you make sounds, or tunes, says Rama, v'cheinim lo avid maisa shari, you make a sound or a tune without a maisa, that's permitted. Therefore, continues the Rama, therefore, elu, those people, Shakorin lechavrem, they call their friends, mitzavtzefim bepihem, and they whistle with their mouths, kemot tzipor, like a bird. Mutr la'asosa b'shabbos. It's mutr dur on Shabbos. But why? He says, the lachim. Lachim is therefore. What's the therefore? He says that if you're not doing a maisa, that makes it mutr. You see, from the way the Ramah phrases himself, that the heter of whistling is not because, oh, it's not a tune, but the heter of whistling is because you are not doing a maisa. That's why it's mutter. So the Rama is choosing one of those two reasons that was put forth by the Shulta Giborim. The reason why whistling is mutter is because it's not considered a maisa. If that's the case, we could go to back to our three nafkaminas. If this is how we paskin, are you allowed to whistle a tune? Well, yeah. The Isser is not the tune, Shabbat. The Isser is only the Maisa. If you're doing a Maisa, you just, you could whistle a beautiful tune, but there's no Maisa involved. It's all just the formation of your lips. Are you going to be able to blow on a bottle, even without a tune? It should be a problem, because that would be considered a Maisa. Are you allowed to use your fingers? Even to call your friend, which the Rama says is mutter, and the Shulta Giborim says is mutter, it's mutter because there's no maisa. Maybe if you use your fingers, maybe that could be considered a maisa, and that would be aser. And we'll see a little bit of a discussion of that shortly. Dr. Pinta, do you have a question? Yeah, I hear your question. I would answer. So you're asking two questions. You're asking that when you hold a bottle, you're still not doing a maisa. You're not doing a maisa because you're just blowing. This just happens to be a bottle in front of your mouth. So I will disagree with you on that point, because that's the same kind of maisa as playing the clarinet or playing a flute. Well, if you take a bottle and you hold in front of your lips to blow and to make a whistle on it, it's just like you take a flute to make whatever other tune. And that would be considered like a maisa because you're harnessing some tool. The same thing you could say. I think that's what it means. When it says that you can't do them, you're doing it with a maisa, that's the same idea as a clay shear. Therefore, we'd be worried about, I think it's more significant like using a clay shear. And so too, when you're using your fingers, you're saying that when you make the sound, it's just the voice. No, it's the voice with it's the air coming through your throat with the position that your fingers are doing it, and your fingers are putting your tongue into a certain position. That, I mean, to me, it sounds like that would be a maisa. That's what I would think. But we'll see. The Achronim actually do mention this point. Let's see as we go. Number one, let's start with Magen Avraham's comment on this Shulchan Aruch. So the Rama just said that if you don't do a maisa, the Rama just said that you could whistle on Shabbos because there's no maisa involved. The Magen Avraham says, wait a second. Why is it okay? After all, sometimes you whistle with a tune. He says, what should be the difference between whistling with a tune and singing with a tune? Concludes the Rama, Magen Avraham, Hacha Shai Didami L'Kli Shir. Mikol Makom, that maybe if you whistle with a tune, maybe it should be problematic, but I don't paskin like that concern of the tune. Mikol Makom Nirli, D'Shari Kem D'Lov and Maisa. This is a point that we said, even though the Shulta Giborim presented two possibilities. One is that you're making a tune, and one is that you're doing a maisa. We don't paskin like the concern that you're making a tune. You're allowed to sing. You're allowed to whistle a tune. The problem is only that you're doing a maisa. As long as you don't do a maisa, it's okay. So if we stop here, it should be mutter. I want to tell you that everybody holds like this. Everybody holds you're allowed to whistle on Shabbos. Everybody holds you're allowed to whistle to a tune on Shabbos, with one exception. I found one das yachid. It's the Birki Yosef, the Chida, in his Birkei Yosef, and he doesn't even paskin that it's aser, but he quotes some Sephardi posek who I'm not familiar with from, I don't know when he lived, Harav HaMefursim Reino Rav Pinchas Anav, who is the Av Beis Din, the Kahal Kadosh Ferrara, I don't know where that is, it sounds Italian, Italy, okay, Ferrara, and he says that Rav, who is the Av Beis Din of that city in Italy, not a lesser, usher letzavtsev kitzipor or kumin zemer acher b'shabata. He says you're not allowed to. Basically, you're not allowed to whistle to a tune. But other than that, I don't know anyone else who asks it, and it seems that it is mutter. And it's mutter, as the Mishnah Berurah points out in Shin Lamed Ches Gimel, that afilu imanim hakol kein shir, shari. Because as long as you're doing it with your mouth, that's not considered a maisa. That's not considered a clay shir, it's not considered a maisa. And it's mutter to whistle, even with a tune. That's, as long as you're doing it with your mouth, it should be permitted. And sometimes you have people who like beatboxing, as long as you do it with your mouth, all those tunes should be mutter. You know, sometimes they have these a cappella songs that you know, the Maccabees or other similar groups, and they could produce some very interesting sounds with their mouths, and it sounds sometimes almost like percussion instruments. And as long as they do it, you know, sometimes on the envelope of the CDs that they sell, they say they want you to be able to play it during the 9 days or 3 weeks. So, or during Sfira. So they say all the sounds include on this tape or on this CD and this recording are all produced by the human voice as a way to allow you to listen to it during the 9 days and 3 weeks for those who listen to a cappella music during the 9 days and 3 weeks. Even though it sounds like there's some instrumental accompaniment by those that beat, but it's really a beat from a voice. I think they actually change it with a voice with some technology. They play with the voices. But it fundamentally starts as a voice, not as a drum. But if you make cool sounds with your mouth, that is all mutter. That's what the Mishnah Berurah paskins. Now, we just have to deal with one question. We said that a tune is mutter. What about putting your fingers and making that with your fingers, that really loud whistle that people could do with their fingers? Is that going to be mutter? So says the Aruch HaShulchan, the Aruch HaShulchan is bothered by a question. He's going to deal with this very directly, but he's bothered by a question. He says, I don't understand. You remember we had a Shilta Giborim that we started with, that original source, that Shilta Giborim who was discussing, are you allowed to whistle? Like, what's his question? Like, why wouldn't you be able to whistle? You're allowed to sing. Everyone, no one questions you're allowed to talk and sing. So what's the difference between whistling and singing? The only thing that we see in Chazal that's usur is banging, tapping, clapping, doing something with your hands. We never have any isser anywhere in Chazal about just voices, you know, sounds emanating from your throat and from your mouth. Why does he even discuss? Why does he raise the possible problem with whistling? Because of that question, the Aruch HaShulchan suggests it must be that when the Shilta Giborim was talking about whistling, it couldn't have been whistling regularly, because that certainly should be mutter. It's just like singing. It must be, says Aruch HaShulchan, that when the Shilta Giborim permitted us to whistle, it was whistling with the use of your hands. Because otherwise, it's no different than singing. Look what he says here. Nearly the Perish Kainhu. The betzivtzuf hazeh regilin, in the singing, in this whistling, I'm saying, it's normal, lahasim etzba l'soch piv, ben hasvasayim hashinayim. It's normal that people, when they whistle, they insert their fingers into their mouths, between their teeth, and the sound comes out like a tzipor. And that's the chiddush that the Shilta Giborim is trying to teach us. Da'af al gav debiyad aser, even though it's aser to, you know, bop and bip and bap and clap and bang with your hands. However, here, even though you're using your hands, right, you're inserting them into your mouth, it's a little more of a subtle point. You are using your hands, but your hands aren't making the music. Your hands are assisting, setting up the formation of the mouth cavity to be in a certain formation, so that your mouth could make the sound. And that's why it's mutter. V'hayad eno ela kadesha tzitzif b'peh yala yafa. It's not the sound that is the hands that are making the sound. It's the hands that are enabling the mouth to make the sound come out better. And that's why it's mutter. You see, he's sort of making things much more subtle. He's saying the heter, to tell me that it's mutter to whistle, I don't need a shilta gibarm. He says he thinks that should be obvious. So it must be that Shilta Giborim is saying that when you use your hands, it's mutter. Oh, even though you're using your hands, and sometimes using your hands, banging, clapping, is usur. But here, it must be when you're using your hands, then I need to tell you that it's a good shayla. And I'm going to tell you it's still mutter, because ultimately, You're using your the sound is emanating from your mouth, your throat, your lips, not your hands itself. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan wants to put forth. So in other words, the Aruch HaShulchan says, if I have a Shilta Giborim who permits me to sing, to permits me to whistle, it can't be just talking about whistling. It has to be talking about whistling with your hands. And that's the only thing that's the only reason why we would need to be told this heter that you're allowed to whistle, because you're using your hands, and therefore he comes out that even whistling with hands is permitted. Not like I said before. Before I said, when I introduced this topic, I said that if we paskin, and the Ramah paskins this way, that if you do a maisa, whistling with a maisa is aser, I said, oh, so if you whistle with your fingers, that should be a maisa. You see from here, the Aruch HaShulchan says that no, that's not considered enough of a maisa, and that's not considered enough of a maisa, it will be mutter, even when you use your hands. However, this last point that the Aruch HaShulchan just made, this kula of the Aruch HaShulchan who permits you even to whistle with your fingers, is not so obvious. The Shailas HaTshuva is Mishnah Halachos. The Mishnah Halachos was Rav Menashe HaKatan Klein, I believe. And he takes issue with this Aruch HaShulchan. Take a step back. Why did the Aruch HaShulchan say it's mutter to whistle with your fingers? For one reason. He said, because if you're just talking about your mouth, it's obvious. I don't have to tell you it's mutter to whistle with the mouth. It's so obvious. So if you're telling me that it's mutter to whistle, it must be with your fingers. Even though there's some connection to hands, you're still mutter. But otherwise, it's obvious. Says Rav Menashe HaKatan Klein, I don't think it's so obvious. I don't think it's obvious that whistling is mutter. I'll tell you why. Look what Rav Menashe HaKatan Klein says. When the Ramah, when the Shilta Giborim speaks about whistling, and the Ramah speak about whistling, they don't just talk about whistling. They talk about whistling like a bird. Can I ask you a question? You want to tell me, Mr. Aruch HaShulchan, that the whistling in the Shilta Giborim is talking about whistling with your fingers? I've seen a lot of birds whistle. I have a bird. I have a cockatiel. And it whistles, and it talks, and it sings. I've never seen it do so by inserting its fingers into its mouth and whistling thereby. Right? So how, asks the Rav Menashe HaKatan Klein, the Sefer Mishnah Halachos, how in the world could the Aruch HaShulchan say that, oh, it must be, when we're talking about whistling, it must be talking about, it can't tell me that it's whistling with your mouth, because that's obviously mutter. It must be telling me that it's whistling with your fingers. That's the Chiddush. Sefer Menashe HaKatan Klein, but that doesn't make sense, because they talk about this Rishon, the Shilta Giborim, when he talks about whistling, when the Ramah talks about whistling, he's talking about whistling like a bird. And birds don't use their fingers. So if you want to compare it to, I didn't mean parrot, I meant compare it. If you want to compare whistling to a bird, clearly you're talking about whistling with your mouth alone, and still the heter is only, and still the Shilta Giborim says that it's going to be mutter. But that only means because there's no finger. But if you use a finger, perhaps, he concludes, aval hechi de'avir ma'isa. But if you do a real ma'isa, like we had started off by putting your fingers in your mouth, vadai aser. It certainly would be aser. And therefore, he takes issue. This Menashe HaKatan Klein argues on the Aruch HaShulchan, and whereas the Aruch HaShulchan permits you to whistle even with your fingers, because what else could it mean? It's obvious that you're allowed to whistle. Says the Menashe HaKatan Klein, no, the fact that the Rishonim and the Shulchan Aruch compare it to whistling like a bird, it must be whistling with the mouth is the only thing that we're permitting, but anything more than that will be considered a Maisa, and therefore to whistle with your hands will indeed be Aser, according to this opinion of the Sefer Mishnah Halachos. So we come at Halach LaMaisa with Machlokas Achronim, Machlokas HaPoskim. Everyone agrees you're allowed to whistle. The question is, are you allowed to whistle with your hands? The Aruch HaShulchan says, yes, it's permitted. The Menashe HaKatan Klein says, no, it's prohibited. So if you ask me how to paskin, I'm going to say, what kind of Isra are we talking about? An Isra Daraisa or an Isra Darabanan? Clearly, the issue of making sounds, noise on Shabbos is only an Isra Darabanan. So we have an Isra, Machlokes Achronim, on something that essentially is only an Isra Darabanan. And furthermore, And furthermore, the Aruch HaShulchan was, you know, the one of the great, you know, the main poskim of Klal Yisrael. The Menashe HaKadon Klein is a wonderful posek, and he's a very strong Shailos HaTshuvos, but he doesn't have the broad reach and acceptance of the Aruch HaShulchan, which was the posek for Klal Yisrael, until the Mishnah Berurah. So I think halacha l'maisa, we could be making like the Aruch HaShulchan, and I think halacha l'maisa, I think it should be permitted, like the Aruch HaShulchan, to whistle even with one's fingers in their mouth. That's the psak in that shaila. Okay, that was the first half of the shir. The second half of the shir is a little bit of a different topic, but the same general topic. And that is Sifrei Torah and parochuses and breastplates of a Sefer Torah that have bells on them. Now this gets a little bit more complicated because here there's a real tool, a clay shear. Here I don't want to call it an instrument, but there is something that is designed to be a bell. And bells are musical something. I mean, if you look at an orchestra or a symphony, there's actually a guy with a bell, right? The triangle, the bell, whatever it is. So let's see what the halacha is. Are you allowed to use these ornaments of a Sefer Torah or those places that have parochuses that have bells on them? Are they allowed to be used on Shabbos in a way that could very possibly cause the sound to happen? So just as the background, let's just see what the Shulchan Aruch paskins. In Shin Lamed Ches, which is a Shulchan Aruch that we did last week and 2 weeks ago, we learned that you're not allowed to make music sound on Shabbos. Hashma'as kol b'kli shir aser. To make a sound with an instrument is definitely aser. What about knocking on a door? So the Shulchan Aruch paskins, aval hakish al adeles, not derech shir is mutter. To just knock on a door, not with a rhythm, not with a pattern, not to a tune, is permitted to just knock on a door. Fine, that's not what I need. What I need is the next line, the Ramah. The Ramah says that heter to knock on a door is with your hand, to knock with your hand. Ave osur lahakos b'shabas al hadeles b'tabas hakavua b'hadeles. But if you have a built-in knocker, if you have a metal knocker, when I grew up on 19th Street, we had a metal knocker on the door. Oh, that's a bell. There you go. Yankee's holding up a bell for the top. You have to unmute yourself so we could hear. It doesn't make too much noise, Yankee. I hear a little jingling, but I just hear a little noise. I don't really hear like a tingle, the ting of a bell. Okay, we'll talk about that point maybe at the end of the shiur. Says the Ramah. The Ramah says that if you have a knocker on the door, a metal knocker that's made to, you know, amplify your knock, that's aser on Shabbos. Aser lahakos b'Shabbos al adelos b'tabas hakavua b'adelos, with that knocker that's installed on the delos. Afal pishein mechem l'shir. We said before that if you knock on the door, that's fine as long as you don't do it to a tune, to a rhythm, to a beat. But here, when it comes to a knocker that's manufactured, that's built, that's installed to be a musical, I don't want to say the word musical, to be a noisemaker, specifically to be a noisemaker, that's going to be more aser. And that's going to be also even without a beat, without a rhythm, without a pattern. It is prohibited to use a knocker on a door on Shabbos. Now, by the way, if the only way you'll be able to get into the house is if you use a knocker, the post can discuss, maybe there's room to be mekel. But other than that, if there's a possibility of just rapping on the door with your hands and, you know, hurting your finger a little bit, it's better to do that than to use a knocker. Not really supposed to use a knocker on Shabbos. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Now, what do you see? If you're not allowed to use a knocker, so what about those bells? A knocker is not a musical instrument in the sense of a, you know, like a guitar, a harp, a flute. It's a very simple piece of metal against another piece of metal. That's all it is. Well, how is that any different than and you're not intending to make music either, it's just to make noise. So how is that any different than a bell on a crown, on a tara, on a breastplate, on a parochas? And because of this equation of the knocker on the door, which is a kli that's made to make noise, and bells which are put on the Sefer Torah to make noise, the Taz here, in the halachas of making noise on Shabbos, comes out and says the following. Mikan mashma, says the Taz in the beginning of Shin Lamed Ches, Mikan mashma, the kol shekein, to aser litlos b'shabes ritzua, shabat tluya pa'amonim al ha'parochas. You're not allowed to install a strip that has bells on it, onto the parochas, kedei lahashmiya kol inshi beis ha'knesses, to tell the people in the beis ha'knesses that when they're opening the Torah, when they're taking the Sefer Torah out of the Aron Kodesh. Why? Because what's the whole point of installing those bells? The whole point of installing those bells is exactly this. The whole point of installing these bells is indeed this point, to make noise. Guys, get up. The Sefer, the Aron Kodesh is being opened. Va'osan sh'osan kain. And those people who do install bells on their parochases. Have anyone seen parochases with bells on them? I haven't seen that too recently. No, Yankee, in your business, have you dealt with parochases that has bells on them? No, I haven't seen that too often. Okay, but the same idea is going to apply by a Sefer Torah. Because what did he just say? He just said that maybe that there, some shuls would have bells on the parochas so that people, everyone's aware, they're opening the Sefer Torah, opening their own Kodesh, everyone please stand up. Well, guess what? The Shulchan Aruch in Yoredeya, let's leave Hilchos Shabbos now and move to the Yoredeya. And in Yoredeya, in Hilchos Shabbos, the Shulchan Aruch says, "Haroah Sefer Torah k'shum halei chayev lamod lefanav." We all know this. Of course, you have to stand up when a Sefer Torah passes you by. Says the Ramah, nothing to do with Shabbos. This is a Monday morning, a Thursday morning, nothing to do with Shabbos. The Ramah says, "Hashomea kol hanosei Sefer Torah." What happens if you hear the Sefer Torah being carried, even though you don't see it? Afal pi she'ena roa osa. Chayv lamod, you have to stand up. Let's say you're behind a pillar in shul. You're behind a pillar. We have a pillar downstairs, maybe we have a mechitza upstairs. You don't see the Sefer Torah directly, something's blocking you, but you know that it's passing you by because you hear the sound. What sound? We'll see in a moment. So the halacha is you have to stand up. Wait a second. That means that, the Beis Yosef said they purposely put these bells on because the whole point of the bells is to alert you, hey, there's a Sefer Torah passing by, please stand up. So the bells are not just decorative for a visual aesthetic. The bells are there to let you know, hey, everyone stand up, there are bells ringing. Says the Taz, just like he said by the parochases in Hilchos Shabbos, so too he says by the halachas of Sefer Torah, I don't think you should have bells on a Sefer Torah. You know why? You shouldn't have bells on a Sefer Torah. You want to do a mitzvah to make sure everyone stands up and they know to stand up? Because you're not going to be able to take that Sefer Torah out on Shabbos. Din kein b'Shabbos ein lahotzi osa Sefer Torah to mashmiya kol. Just like we learned in the halachas of hotzah on Shabbos. It's a different area. It talks about a cow going out to the street. Are you allowed to lead a cow into the Rishis HaRabim? If it has a bell, right? The cow has a bell underneath their neck. And the Mishnah there and the Shulchan Aruch Pasuk is that you should stuff up the bell so it doesn't make the noise. Why? Because we don't want bells ringing. So if you have to stuff up the bell of the cow in the halachas of Hotzah on Shabbos, you also have to stuff up, you also shouldn't be walking around with a Sefer Torah that is making noise as it's walking through the rows of your shul. That's the critique of the Taz. He says, maybe nowadays we're not worried about instruments because nobody has to know how to fix instruments anymore. We don't hold like that. We hold that it's usher to play musical instruments on Shabbos, even though no one knows how to fix them anymore. Furthermore, it's not really a musical instrument. No, it's still usher. Therefore, the Shulchan Aruch said, therefore the Taz concludes, L'chein yirli she'ein la'asos ha'osan ha'pamon. You should not make bells on a Sefer Torah or on a breastplate or on an atara. And therefore, there's a shul that did, and they were mocha, they protested, and you're not supposed to have any bells. So we have to go through our silver collection, Mr. Melmed, and we're going to have to cut off and rip off all the bells, and stop having these dingles, jingle, jangle, jingles, right? No jingle, jangle, jingle. Okay, that's the Taz's position. And it's pretty strong, because why is it any different than a knocker? It's not musical, it just makes noise. We even have a Furish Mishnah that talks about the bell on the bottom, under the neck of the cow that you have to stuff up so it doesn't ring. You see the bell specifically? The ring of bells are specifically a problem? However, the Shach raises this, and he says that, you know, we have, you know, he doesn't have any problem with this. You're allowed to have these bells on the Sefer Torah stand up when it passes you by, and he doesn't raise any issue. And the Mishnah Berurah brings this as a, understands to be a machlokas, that the Taz says that it's aser to have these bells, both on the parochas and on the Atzei Chaim of the Sefer Torah, like what Yanki Melman was just showing us, because they're made for sound. No different than a knocker that's crafted to give off a sound. That's the Taz's Chumrah. V'hashacham sham cholik. V'tam da kaimelon d'tzorach mitzvah shari. Oh, the Shach is raising a new point that we never thought of before. We just had sukkahs a few weeks ago, and we danced as well as we could. I thought you're not allowed to dance on Shabbos. And we clapped. I thought you're not allowed to clap on Shabbos. And we tapped and we banged on Simchas Torah. I thought you're not allowed to bang and tap on Shabbos. You're not allowed to do it on Shabbos. And why is it mutter on Simchas Torah? So poskim say, de mutter l'rake b'simchas Torah l'chavad ha-Torah. Well, hello. Why do you think you're allowed to violate? Let's understand what that means. That means you're allowed to violate the Isser, derabanan, of making sounds on Shabbos, of tapping, of banging, for the important reason of Kavod HaTorah. Well, so why can't I do the same thing for, says the Shach, I'll do the same thing for Kavod HaTorah. The Kavod HaTorah, the people should stand up as the Sefer Torah walks by. The Kavod HaTorah, the people should stand up when we open the Aron Kodesh and you have the parochas jingle, jangle, jingle, and the Sefer Torah jingle, jangle, jingle. That's also the same Kavod HaTorah. It's a Kavod HaTorah all year long for Sefer Torah. So in the same way, we're mekel on Simchas Torah to dance and clap and tap for Kavod HaTorah. So too, we should have a head to the Kavod HaTorah to allow the jingling, jangling, jingling of the bells on the Sefer Torah. That's what the Shach suggests. However, the conclusion, believe it or not, of the Mishnah Berurah seems to be, he says, that he holds like the Taz, his machmir, that since this is specifically made for music, for sound, it should be aser. And the Eli Rabba also, Gambi Eli Rabba mitzadei de'en lahakel, without getting into it. And therefore, believe it or not, the Mishnah Berurah does conclude that this should be avoided. Al kein bevadai mehanachon, it's proper, sheyasir me'erev Shabbos, is the psak of the Mishnah Berurah, it's proper to remove the inval, we should plug up the bells, or we should remove the, what's that thing that hangs on the inside of the bell? There are two parts of the bell. There's the outside canister and the piece of, what is it called? The clapper? Okay, the clapper, if that's what we want to call it, you should remove the clapper before Shabbos. That would be the proper thing to do. What happens if you forgot? What happens if you didn't do it before Shabbos? Are you allowed to take out that Sefer Torah? So b'di'evet, says the Mishnah Berurah, ach b'makom adchak, for example, you forgot, you didn't remove it from Erev Shabbos. Nira diyachol lismach al hasvar hanal. You could be maker like the Shach, who said that since it's the covered HaTorah, it's going to be mitter. Why? Because it's not. You're not trying to make the sound. You're not taking out the Sefer Torah and shaking it so you could make noise. No, you're just taking out the Sefer Torah. It happens to be the noise is made. So since that's not your intent, and there are those who are mekel who permit it, so bid the evidence mutter. But lichat chila, the Mishnah Berurah's conclusion seems to be that you should not have bells on a Sefer Torah or on a parochas or on a breastplate for Shabbos. Wow. That's a big chumra, isn't it? A lot of shuls don't really have don't go like this. I think a lot of shuls have bells on the Sefer Torah, right? I think we're in a little bit of a bind. So, I found one kula. I found a little kula. And with this, we'll finish. A very short Sheva Talevi. Rav Ozner Zatzal, just nifter 2 years ago or so, raises this question. He raises the famous machlokas, the Taz, the Magen Avraham, regarding the bells, Taz and the Shach, regarding the bells on a Sefer Torah. The Taz says Zos, the Shach says Mutter. Look what Rav Ozner writes. He says, no, you're getting all mixed up. You think that they were talking about our bells? Do you remember how Yanki shook those bells? Yanki, you want to shake those bells again? Listen carefully. Unmute yourself, and you'll hear. You can't hear anything. You don't hear real. There you go. Go ahead. I don't hear anything. I hear a tiny bit. I hear just a little shaking. It doesn't sound like a bell, it doesn't sound like a ding, it doesn't sound like a dong, it doesn't sound like a jingle, it doesn't sound like a jangle. It just sounds like a little, what? So now, yeah, you're going to have to find another buyer. Or maybe I will buy those because it's for Shabbos and I don't want one that makes a lot of noise. The quiet ones, that's exactly what the Sheva Talevi says. The Taz and the Shach, when they were talking about bells, they were talking about bells that were bigger, that made a sound, that had a real clap and a jingle and a jangle. That you could hear their voice, you could hear the sound. Aval kayom, now when we make these bells in the on the keser shel Torah, shekemat ein shomim osam, you could barely hear them. Ve'nasim, and they're primarily made at this point not really so much for the sound, but primarily for the visual component of looking like a bell, of looking like a pamon. Pshita dimutarim. He says, this is not the same kind of bells that the Taz and the Shach were talking about. Yes, I agree that the Mishnah Berurah is Machmir. I agree that the Taz says that it's Aser. But he was talking about, they were talking about bigger bells that make more noise. That's what, but our bells that you could can't really hear anything. So I don't know, maybe, I don't know where they put Yankees, you know, those bells that you just showed me. Maybe those are the noisier ones. I don't know where the cutoff is. But if there's not really any sound that comes out of it, it just looks like a bell, and like if you bang it in the right way, it will make a little sound, but really it doesn't make a real sound as you walk. That, Sefer Talevi says it's mutter. So even though the Mishnah Berurah is machmir, and says that you shouldn't really have these bells, Sefer Talevi says, but it doesn't make any sound, it's a bell, but it doesn't really make any sound of a bell, it doesn't give off much noise, that would be okay. So that's the sugya. And I guess it's something to be aware of. Next time you buy a keser, next time you donate a Sefer Torah, and you're buying a keser for a Sefer Torah, you should consider, make sure the bells are either non-existent, or if they are existent, that they're small, and they don't really give off a sound, and that way, it will be mutter, hopefully, l'chulei alma. Thank you all for joining. I'm going to turn off the recording now.